I don't know if the guys realize it, but the Explosion News theme song goes for like 5 minutes, and you guys are the only pair that get it to the second run through of the song. Does anybody else hear it start again? Yeah, okay. It was good work though, boys. Nice job. Congratulations, City Life FC. One without me. I was surprised, I must admit, but impressed. I'm joking. Woo! All right. Who's at Groundswell Friday night? It was so good. Best Groundswell ever. Literally, it was. We had over 750 people there, and 98 decisions for Christ, which is just incredible. So pray this week for people who made those decisions, that they would not just like have a hand up emotional moment at a big event, but that they would live their lives for God. And that's really what I want to talk about tonight. We had the baptisms this afternoon, which was incredible, and I love it. And I just had this thought when we were there with the baptisms, just thinking, this is what it's about. And this is what church is about. This is what our purpose is about, is seeing people living and giving their lives to God. And a baptism is such a clear representation of that. No holds barred. Telling the world, telling the guy swimming laps that you are living for Jesus. That's it. And I love it, and I love people making decisions, and I love baptisms. But tonight, I want to talk about endurance. Fun, this one. Because that stuff is great, and it's awesome, but that's a beginning, not an end. And you were not called to an event. You were called to a lifetime of serving God. And so often I think we get that confused and we think, well, if we have this big moment in church or we get baptized, whatever, we're like, yeah, that is, I'm there. I've made it in my walk with God and I'm a Christian and that's it. And I'll just kind of hang out until I die. But God's plan is so much bigger for your life, yeah? And God sees your baptism, He sees your salvation as a starting point where you say, I'm going to live my life for God, and then you actually do. Amen? So I want to talk tonight about how we can live a whole life serving God, because life is really long in a way, you know? I'm 25 now, and I feel like, exactly, that's my point. I feel like, even though, like, I feel like I've lived for a long time. And you know how when, in your head, like, you know when you're at school, you feel like school has gone forever. And like, it's been such a long time since you were a little kid. But then, like, you talk to somebody who's in their 40s or in their 50s or older, and they say just how young you are and how much more of your life to go. And so I'm like, well, my life must be really long if I feel like it's been a long time already and I'm really only like a quarter of the way through, God willing. And so I kind of was thinking about how we can live life, not just for the first month or the first week or for a moment, but we can run with perseverance. In Hebrews 12, it says this, it says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. God has this plan for your life. God has this race marked out for you. Amen? And this race is not short because it says that we have to run with perseverance. And I don't know about you, but if I'm not fit, which is basically true of me, running with perseverance is a challenge. And running any great distance becomes hard. And that's when your perseverance kicks in, because even when it's hard, even when it hurts, even when it's sore, you have to keep going. Sound exciting? That's what it's saying. It's saying, like, your life, and I believe that God has the best life for each and every one of us, and that a life following God is an incredibly blessed life. But that doesn't mean that your life is just going to be like easy street and nothing's going to go wrong and you'll have no challenges and no obstacles and nothing's going to happen. Every single person that does anything significant for God has faced challenges in their life. There's no avoiding that, yeah? And so the question is not like, how can I avoid the challenges of life and just cruise through? But it's, how can I endure? How can I persevere through the challenges of life to run the race marked out for me by God and get to the end and be able to say, like Paul says, I've finished the race. I've run the race. Yeah, I have done it and I've done it well all the way to the end. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I guess for me, this is a really personal thing, because it's easy to get like busy and to get tired and to not always just feel like awesome. I don't know, some people maybe just feel like that all the time, but I doubt it. And you can get to the points in your life where you just like, you feel tired, yeah? Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? But how do you endure? How do you keep going? Because when you get tired, that's not the point to quit. That's not the point where you say, well, I've done my bit for God and so I'll give up now. Because like then you haven't actually achieved what God has for your life. Amen. If you get to an obstacle or a time where you're like, oh, I'm just not feeling it. I'm feeling a bit tired right now. How about I just go and I'll just go lie down and I'm done. Like tag out and I've done my part. God, I gave you 5 years. God, I gave you a couple of years. I gave you 10 years. That's enough, yeah, because I put in a lot of work. That's not what God has called us to live, but God has called us to live a lifetime serving Him. And I know for me, I don't want to just give. I talk to people who are older around the place and around churches, and these guys that, you know, they did the ministry thing for a while, and then they moved on. And now sometimes God calls people to different things, and I understand that, but I don't want to be someone that just kind of looks at it and says, well, I did that because, you know, that's what you do, but now I'm doing the real thing. But I want to say, God, what have you got for my entire life? What have you called me to do, not just when I'm in my 20s and I'm still young enough to talk to teenagers? Like, that's not the time that God has allocated for me, yeah? But what am I going to be doing when I'm 80? To be serving God, because I believe that He has something for me every day, every year of my life. And there is not a time where God just says, all right, well, you've done now. You can just sit on the bench for the rest. You know, God is not like that. And I really believe that, you know, when we play soccer, we are limited to 11 people on a field at once. But that's not how God's team works. God has a place for every single person on the field all the time. So don't think that you were just sitting on the bench because you've already done your part and you're 5-0 up and so you don't need to play anymore, yeah? We all need to play all the time. Amen? So I want to talk about that, if that's cool. And I just had like a few, I had lots of thoughts on how I could do that, and I'm sure that you could think of lots of things, but I just want to share, I guess, a few things tonight on how we can endure. Yeah, is that good? Okay, I'm going to pray again. God, thank you so much for your word and that you just give it to us so freely and that we can come and we can just hear what you have to say in our lives. And God, I pray that right now you would just use me for your glory, God, and you would just speak to us through your word, God. And it'd be none of us and none of our like small ideas or anything like that, God, but that you would just speak and you would just open our hearts to hear from you. Amen. All right, so the first thing I think that we need if we're going to endure is to not do it alone. Amen. Because I think sometimes we look at a race and this idea of running the race and we think that we're supposed to do it by ourselves. But like the race is not a solo race. It's not like the solo yacht around the world race or whatever that those guys do where they just spend like a year by themselves running around, because that's not how we were designed, yeah? And if you've lived any length of time, which all of you have, you know that your life has not been made to be alone. And you were supposed to be with other people, around other people, in relationship, yeah? We are designed for family. We are designed for relationship. That is like the core of our being is built in this thing where we need other people. But sometimes and somehow when it comes to our walk with God, we think that, you know, it's just up to me and I've just got to do it by myself. And my struggles and my needs, I just need to keep under wraps and just kind of do the things by myself that I think I'm supposed to do. But that is not how God has called us to live. It's not how He's designed us to live. And you cannot expect to fulfill God's call for your life if that's what you're doing. Yeah, if you are just going to go and do it by yourself, you will fail every time. I'm going to talk about soccer a fair bit, probably for the rest of the season, so just get used to it. If you go it alone in soccer, you lose the ball, yeah? Unless you're Messi, which you're not. He still loses the ball. So basically, if you get the ball and you're attacking and you're running and you try and just do it all yourself and skin like every player on the other team and get to the goals, you're going to get stopped. You need to work as a team, yeah? You need to pass the ball. You need to have people around you as support. You need to work together as one to achieve the goal, rather than just trying to do it yourself. And it's the same with our life. Like, we can't just go it alone and on a breakaway and think, yeah, I'm going to make it. I'm going to score. Because God's call for your life is to be in team and to be in relationship and to work together as one people for one purpose. Amen. And we need, just like in soccer, to play the whole 90 minutes as a team. Not like the first little bit and then once things are kind of going well, then you just go and do your own thing. But the whole game as a team, amen? In Ecclesiastes 4, there's this interesting like story, and it says this in verse 7. And again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother, and there was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For who am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If they fall down, they can help each other up. But pity those who fall and have no one to help them up. And if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. To be honest, and in reality, the enemy is trying to break you. And the quickest and easiest way for him to do that is to get you alone and get you in isolation. And this is what it says. It says, pity the man who is alone when he falls and has no one to help him back up. We were created to be together, and there is such power in togetherness. There is such power in unity. When you are knitted together, bound together, it says like a cord of three strands is not easily broken. I was watching Luke's favorite show, which is what Megastructures or whatever it's called. His favorite, he likes it. It's a cool show. It's like just about these ridiculous things that people have built around the world. I was watching this this episode, and it was on the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. And you know that whole thing is held up by little pieces of wire, and an individual piece of wire in these cables that hold the entire bridge is like half a centimeter wide. It's just a tiny cable. But they have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these cables all wound together, and the thing can hold, like not only hold itself, this massive bridge, but hold the thousands and thousands of cars that drive across it every single day. And it can withstand like storms and earthquake and all this crazy stuff. But by itself, like that cord is just one little cord that is going to do well to hold like one car. And it's the same in our life. Like, it's so easy to think that you can just do it yourself. But God says, no, you're supposed to do it together. And when you bind together, nobody can stop you. And you can support anything. And you can do anything. And you can achieve the things that I have for your life when you would do it together. Because a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. But a cord of one is, yeah? I really believe that together is a powerful word. And there is something strong about us coming together to worship together, to serve together, to encourage and to challenge each other together, to work together, to do the things that God has called us to do. And if you want to make it to your 80th birthday still serving God, then you can't do it by yourself. You will never, like, I'm just being real with you, you will not make it. You need to do it in relationship. You need to be together. I know the boys from Adrian's life group love this proverb in Proverbs 27:17 that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And they're always talking about getting some good sharpening. And I love it. I think it's great because, you know, we need to be these people who are strong coming together to sharpen each other. And that's iron. Like, iron is strong. And it says, but when it comes together, not when it just like bangs into itself and fights, it's not talking about conflict. It's talking about sharpening each other, working together to sharpen so that both pieces of iron become sharper. That's the purpose and that's the vision of a relationship that God has for us. And that's God's answer to us fulfilling his call, is to not do it alone. Amen. So let's not try and run the whole race by ourselves. Let's not try and run any of the race by ourselves, because you just will not make it. Another thing that I think we need to do is we need to learn how to heal properly. If you're gonna run for your whole life, you can't be held back by injury. Now, last week at soccer, I kicked the ground with my foot and am currently, you know, feeling pretty good because I took Panadine before the service. And my foot is still sore and still kind of not okay. And I know that if I try and play on this injured foot, I'm not going to be comfortable. I'm not going to give my best. I'm not going to score. I'm not going to play well. I'm going to let the team down. I'm going to hurt myself more and hurt my chances of playing in the future. And so I need to be careful about how my foot is feeling before I run on and play another game of soccer to make sure that I don't play injured, yeah? And that makes sense to everybody. And we know that's not a good idea. And a lot of the time, probably because of testosterone or something, most of the time guys will want to play even though they're hurt. They want to keep going. They want to man up and keep at it and get back up there. And then even if there's like a bone sticking out of their leg, they're like, I'm good. I'll just put the shin pad over it and I'll run out there. And you know, I'm warm. You can do a lot while you're warm. And then you cool down. And you're like, whoops, that was a bad idea. Anyway, so my point is, if you're injured, you're not going to finish the race. You know, you need healing and you need wholeness. It's so easy to let past hurt and past situations or things hold us back and keep us injured. And we carry these niggles. You know, like everybody who plays sport, basically, particularly as you start to get older, and I'm sure Dad knows in the Masters League, nothing there. I would almost guarantee that every person in that league is carrying a niggling injury. You know, those things that they don't stop you playing, but they hurt. And I think we can live our lives with these niggling injuries that we think, well, I'm okay because I can survive. But, you know, when something hits a certain topic or you're in a certain situation, you feel the pain again. And you're like, oh, that's not quite healed. Well, that's not really 100% right there. And so instead of running the race with perseverance and letting go of everything that entangles us, we kind of limp the race. And that's not how we are called to live, yeah? That's not what God has for us. And to be honest, God has healing for us. He has total and complete healing and wholeness for every person and wants us to live in complete freedom. And so nothing has to hold you back. You do not have to carry a niggling injury because you think that God's not going to do anything about it. You can have freedom, amen? Total freedom to do the thing that God has called you to do. And in 2 Corinthians 3, it says this in verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if you have the Spirit of God in your life, if you weren't here this morning, download the podcast of Dad's message because it was awesome. If you have the Spirit of God in your life, then there is freedom in your life. And you don't have to be bound by anything. You don't have to carry hurt. You don't have to carry pain. You have freedom in Christ, yeah? Freedom to do everything that God has called you to do. And so if you want to run the race all the way to the end, do not carry injury. You don't have to carry injury. It's not like in sport where, you know, sometimes you just can't do anything about the injury that you've got. You know, God has healing for you. God has total freedom for your life. And you don't have to battle for it. You don't have to do physio. You don't have to whatever. The power of God is in you and it is here and it is for you. And He wants to free you completely and totally to do everything that He has called you to do. Amen? You got to grab it. Honestly, take hold of it. Do you believe it? I like what Adrian's saying. Do we believe what the Bible says? Do we believe in the healing power of God? Do we believe that Jesus died to set us free and that I don't have to be bound by anything in my life, but I can live in total freedom and liberty because of what Jesus did for me? Amen? If we believe that, then we can live in that. If we want to live for our whole life and we want to run the race and endure, then we need to get healing for the injuries. Because you can't carry an injury for 80 years, 90 years. You're not going to do it. Like, you can carry it for a while. You can carry it for a little while, but it will catch up to you. But you can have freedom. That's the good news. You don't have to carry it. As an aside on this, in Matthew 6, there's a really famous verse, and Jesus is telling His disciples how to pray. And one of the things He says is in verse 12, "Forgive us our debts as we And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." And in verse 14 it says, "For if you forgive others when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." That's pretty heavy and a pretty direct call from Jesus to say, you know, if you forgive others, then God will forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, then God's not going to forgive you. And it's like, whoa, what is He saying there? I thought God was all like peace and love. But my challenge and the challenge here, I think, is that we have this thing inside of us where we have this key to healing and forgiveness, and that's to forgive other people. You know, you don't have to hold on to the hurt that somebody else gave you. You don't have to hold on to the thing that they did or the thing that you did or anything. You do not have to carry that sin or another person's sin in your life. But God says, forgive them, I'll forgive you. That's it. And I love that it's not complicated and it's not super spiritual for Jesus, but He's just like, this is how you should pray every day. This is how you should talk to God. And in part of just talking to God, you should just say, God, forgive me as I forgive the people around me. And just live in this state of freedom, yeah? Live in this state of being free of injury and hurt and not carrying heavy stuff, yeah? We're not supposed to carry heavy weights around. It's not the way we were designed, yeah? We have freedom in Christ, amen? So if you want to go for the long haul and you want to endure, then you need to get healed. And the last thing I want to talk about is we need to hope in Jesus, not in our circumstance. I think it's so easy, and Adrian kind of said it before, to when things are going well in your life, to hope in the things. And that's a good question for all of us. Like, when things are kind of going well, when work is going well, when relationships are going well, when ministry is going well, it's pretty easy to kind of get confident in those things without even thinking about it sometimes. And you can be just start, like, letting yourself rely on those things. And on the other side of that, it is so easy just to give up when there's bad circumstance and stuff starts going wrong and it all just falls apart. And that's because your trust and your hope is in the circumstance, not in Christ Jesus, amen? And so we need to put our hope in Jesus if we want to endure and we want to finish well. In 1 Thessalonians This is reading in my journaling at the moment. There was this verse, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3 says, "We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." And I was really struck by this verse and it really stood out to me, thinking about how like our work is produced by our faith. And our labor needs to be prompted by our love. And our endurance needs to come from hope in Jesus Christ. And we can't hope in the things of this world and expect to make it all the way, because they will let you down. But when you hope in Jesus, He will never let you down. You will never fail. He will never fail you when you hope in Him. Amen. And so we have this opportunity and this incredible privilege to put our hope in Jesus Christ and not in anything of this world. And so whether things are going fantastic or whether everything is going wrong, you can trust and hope in God, and He is there for you and you can endure. Amen. In Philippians 4, Paul's talking about just his life and these things that he has learned. And he says this, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me, because the Philippians had given him stuff. And he says, indeed you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. And then he says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He says, I can do all of this through Him who gives me strength. Paul says, I've learned that I can't trust and hope in my circumstance, because sometimes my circumstance will be good and everything will be fine, and sometimes my circumstance will be bad and everything will fall apart. But he says, but in Him, Jesus gives me strength. I can be content in every situation. I can endure everything in the hope that's in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so what we need to do is just hope in God and not in our circumstance, and not look at our life, whether it's good or bad, and think, okay, now that's okay or that's terrible. But think, no, regardless of that, regardless of what is going on in my life, Jesus has a plan for me. God has an incredible plan and a purpose for my life. He has marked out a race for me to run, and so I'm going to do it, and I'm going to hope and I'm going to trust in Him, and He will guide my path. Amen. And so then you get this freedom, and this is what Paul's talking about, this freedom, this contentment that isn't bound to your circumstance but is bound to God, and that never fails. Amen. I really believe that God has a long race for all of us, and that nobody is called to a little race. God, it's not a relay. Like, you don't run a little bit and pass the baton on, but it's a whole life race serving God. It's a whole life marked out plan for you to race for God and do incredible things for Him. And God has that purpose for every single one of us. And He does not want to see you fail. He does not want to see you be broken or hurt or injured or carrying pain or anything like that. He doesn't want you to be caught and isolated, yeah? But God has a lifelong plan and purpose for every single one of us. And we have the ability and we have been given the things that we need to run that race for our whole lives. So I guess my encouragement and my challenge and the thing that I've been thinking about is how I can live a whole life serving God, and not just a little while, not just a couple of years or a few months, and then when something goes wrong, that's it, but how I can live my entire life serving the purpose that God has. Amen. I'm just going to pray. God, thank you so much for the incredible purpose and plan you've got for me and you've got for every single person here. God, I thank you that we can live in freedom from the things that have happened to us, to the circumstance that binds us up, God, that we don't have to carry niggling injuries or anything like that, God, but we can serve you for our entire lives. And God, I just pray that you would just make that real for me and real for all of us, God, and show us the things that we can do and the things that we need to do to make that happen, God. I pray for just your blessing and your peace on every life, God, and that we would be people who learn to trust in you and not in our circumstance, God, and learn to live life together, not alone. God, I pray that you'll just be building stuff in our hearts and our lives, even right now, God. And I just lift that up to you, God. I lift up the guys who were baptized today. I lift up the guys that made decisions on Friday night. Lord, people who have said, I want to live my life for God. And I pray that you would bless them, that you would enable them, that you would put good people around them more and more, God. But you would challenge them not just to run it for a little while, but to do a lifetime of serving you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Before we finish tonight, I want to give you an opportunity to start that race and to start a relationship with God. And so if you don't know God and you want that relationship with Him, well, you would call yourself a Christian, or you would have called yourself a Christian, but you feel far from God, then I want to pray with you tonight. So if that's you and you want to pray that, then I want you to open your heart and I'm just going to pray for you, and then we're going to pray together. God, I thank you for every person that's here tonight, God, and that you have just an incredible plan and purpose for every life. God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, that He died for us, that He took the weight and the burden of our sin, and that He rose again, God, and that because of that, we don't have to live bound by anything. But we can be free from our sin. We can be forgiven and released, God. And we can have life with you here now on earth, and life with you for eternity in heaven. And God, I just thank you so much for that in my life, and pray that you would just make that real in every life here tonight, Lord. Let's just pray this prayer together as it comes up on the screen. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life, and I'll follow you. Amen. If you prayed that tonight and that was the first time you ever really meant it, or you meant it again fresh tonight, then talk to the person that brought you. Talk to your life group leader if you're in a life group, and make that real. And get to your life group. Get to house builders this week. You know, don't do it alone. Amen.